This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings, and none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Well, Jade, over the weekend, you had a nerd party. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you gave the brief and said that, oh, this is a nerd party, come dressed as something you're nerdy about.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a chance in hell of me turning up as some Doctor Who character, was there?
No. And that was the whole point of it, Dave. Like, I think, you know, there's always this perception to be a nerd, you have to be into sci-fi or
technology perhaps.
Or, you know, those kind of more nerdy, like traditionally nerdy science, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't think that's the case. I think, for example, you are a pop music nerd. It's like, I think if you live and breathe something, then you... And while I might be considered to be traditionally nerdy, you are, you know...
It's a different kind of nerdy.
It's a different kind of nerdy. Anyway, so I was encouraging people to come out about what they were nerdy about. And so, therefore...
You know what? I came in at... I made an outfit, you guys. Like, this was the first time I had made an outfit all by myself. Mm-hmm. Normally, I have designers. Get some couture creations happening. But I was using some hot glue. I was gluing CDs to a $6 Bond singlet. That's how, you know, bougie I was. You know, we're working on a huge budget here. Yeah. So I was gluing some CDs on a singlet because I went as a music nerd.
Yeah.
And Jade, I was so amazed by the array of different nerds that turned up at your party. We had Battlestar Galactica nerds. Yep. Mm-hmm. We had gaming nerds. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of hoping for...
AM radio nerd.
AM radio nerd. That's different, isn't it? But look, it was really great to see a representation of different kinds of nerdy.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a bit more about that after this. Now, Jade, we got... a text. Oh, this is actually sent from the Joy 94.9 app, mm-hmm. insert plug, which is free. I feel like Moira or something, spruiking it this
so
early.
David, tell me more about the Joy 94.9 app.
We got, Avi sending us a message from the Joy app saying, the grammar geek in me needs to point out that you're using the wrong word. Uh-oh.
You're talking about geeks, not nerds.
Well,
it's an interesting discussion, isn't it, Dave? Because I think I probably more specifically sit in the nerd category because, you know, socially awkward, introverted, into, like, not so cool things. Mm. Whereas when we talk about... But I think, you know, each to your own.
You are... Let's try to get this right. Mm-hmm. You are an astronomy geek. Because you like stargazing and you like learning about planets and you like all that kind of stuff. Like, didn't you go to a planetarium not too long ago?
Yeah, I went to like a planetarium series. Like, I've been to a couple of different planetariums around the country. I've been to a planetarium overseas. Like, you know.
Is this like the thing for you to do when you're maybe visiting a new city? Perhaps see if they have a planetarium?
And I've got this app on my iPad, Dave, where you can put it up to the sky wherever you are and it gives you like what stars are where.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I guess for me it's like, you know, you look up the sky and you can see what's different as opposed to home. And I had my telescope set up on Saturday night. Of course, you know, it was pouring rain. So yeah, there was like just, there was total no star. Cloud cover.
It was no stargazing at your party.
Yeah.
Jade, one thing that I am geeky about is a particular, a lot of people might call her has-been, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I'm quite geeky about Brandy.
Yeah.
I'm a big Brandy fan. I have been ever since...
Moesha? See,
not quite Moesha. See, when I was young and growing up in the 90s, I was aware of Brandy. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore The Boy Is Mine, mm-hmm. of course, like so many people around the world. Mm-hmm. But she really got me around the Full Moon era when she did What About Us, Full Moon, and those kind of singles. I mean, that was a huge...
I don't even know what those are, Dave.
That's fine. It's all part of being a Brandy geek. We understand. We're alone in this world.
Yeah.
I know I'm alone in this because every time I bring up Brandy at a party, people get up and leave.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. It is 8 minutes past seven.
Oh, Jade, over the weekend, it was over the weekend that you went and saw The Avengers.
Yeah, Sunday. It came out last Wednesday, The Avengers. Huge build up to this movie, Dave, because when you think about it, so The Avengers, you've got Iron Man. So they've made two Iron Man movies. They've made a Thor. They've made they've had several goes at the Hulk.
Several interesting attempts at
Captain America was out last year, which was great. So it's now bringing all of those characters together into the one film, the Avengers film, written and directed by Joss Whedon.
So people,
famous for Buffy.
You know, fans of, you know, Buffy and all that would definitely respect and tune into that.
Yeah.
So, Jade, what was really interesting about The Avengers is that I felt like not everyone could just walk into the movies and just watch it. I was warned on several accounts mm-hmm. that maybe I shouldn't go watch it, which is a bit patronizing and rude because you think, well, I can't keep up.
I don't think that's the case for me.
Do you need to know the characters?
I think with those big blockbusters, I think they do enough to have that generic sort of, you get, oh, that character is really smooth and sleek and this one's really old fashioned. This one's, you know, a bit, you know, weird and he's from outer space. Like, you know.
They're giving you bite sizes of each six superheroes.
Yeah, you're obviously not getting like a full intensive study of them if you haven't seen the other individual films, but I think you get enough of, oh, well, you can see why those characters are having trouble getting along because you understand enough about the mechanics of their personalities.
Yeah, so they've given you enough to work in the context of the movie then.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why, but everyone was just, I was actually reading a, this is going to sound hilarious to you, Jade.
Yeah.
I was reading a girl's guide to The Avengers,
mm-hmm.
Designed for, you know, girls that get dragged along by their boyfriends to the movies and have no clue about The Avengers, haven't read the comic books, nothing. Mm-hmm. So I was reading that guide because I feel very raw to this. The kind of comic book figures I grew up with were Batman, possibly Spider-Man, mm-hmm. not even really Superman. So I'm not really into this lot of them.
Yeah.
So
Marvel.
Yeah, I'm not into that lot. Yeah. So I was a bit intimidated by this movie. So you think that it's accessible. And what about the special effects? Because a lot of people have been saying, oh, you know, this is a huge superhero movie.
Yeah, I was reading a review during the week about it and someone said this is probably the first movie that I've seen where you can see where every piece of every dollar went. Like, you know, it's, you know how some movies with these huge budgets, you're just like, what, you know, I don't, you know, I got the impression through the whole thing, it wasn't fake. For the first time, Mark Ruffalo, who's playing the Hulk this time, I believe he's the third modern Hulk. He actually got to play the Hulk, in Hulk form instead of, and not just in Bruce Banner form. So they've like actually put his facial, elements into the character. He doesn't actually voice it. The voice of the Hulk is Lou Ferrigno, who played the original Hulk. Really good balance between comedy and the action stuff.
That's something I'll be tuning into because it's great to have action movies. But the thing about action movies is that you rely a lot on kicks, you rely a lot on punches, you rely a lot on special effects.
Mm-hmm.
I need a little bit of comedy to get me through. So you reckon this is a good mix of both?
Yeah, and I think like really good relationship between the characters, and there's a lot of stake for all of them. They've you know, they've tied in really well. So I guess the key plot point is Loki has stolen the Tesseract, which, you know, you can kind of understand with if you watch the movie. And each how, you know, they tie in how each character is related to the Tesseract and then how they come together as a group. So
sounds like a Power Rangers opening episode. Jade, I'm baffled by this, yeah. Really. I mean, it's just proof that countries like Japan and maybe South Korea do come up with better technology and do have more of a sense of gaming and fun than us here in Australia, because mm-hmm. there's this Sega game out in Japan that is actually urine powered. So mm-hmm. what it is
it's called the toilet.
This is pure genius. This is beyond, you know, the imagination of the average person.
Yeah.
Toilet. So as in T-O-Y-L-E-T. That's what it is. So it's what happens is you get this device, Jade. Mm-hmm. You mount it on top of your urinals. Mm-hmm. So sorry, ladies, y'all can't play. It's just for the fellas. So you mount this device on top of your urinal. And get this, Jade, the device costs about $1,700. So it's not something your company is about to invest anytime soon, let's just say.
Yeah.
And the game itself that goes in the console, you know, the urinal console, is $125.
Whoa.
So, it's a little different to your Nintendo's, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different to that.
But, Dave, like, seriously, what? We're now having to be entertained while we're on the toilet. Like, you know, we're having to make toilet time a game. Like,
these games are really short, though, Jay. They're all less than a minute because, really, if you're going any longer than that,
because
then
it's powered off your flow, right? There's no joystick. But this is the...
There is a joystick, but it's not powered by a joystick. It's powered by your flow. So what it does is this thing measures the pressure and the volume of your urine.
Yeah.
And you know, the different games that you can play on it that, you know, I assume that, you know, you would need to direct your urine in a certain way to win points and all that. But it is so interesting that you can find entertainment in this pocket off your day, like mm-hmm. just this time of the day where you think, oh, it's just peace and quiet, away from everything.
It's interesting in the context of something we're going to talk about a bit later, where I found this article about a guy who's giving up the internet for a year. Like this is like almost the opposite of that. If like, you know, I've got to, you know, pee and try and like pour some coffee while I'm going to pee. Like,
yeah, it's that kind of level of restlessness that we're talking about, because everywhere we go now, whether we're on the tram, whether we're on the train waiting for whatever, mm-hmm. we've got our phones out, we're either listening to music or we're playing some sort of game. So I think what's happening now is that guys get restless even when they pee.
Yeah. They've got to be entertained even if it's that minute.
Jade, I was so surprised when recently you moved houses and you told me about your girlfriend's secret shoe collection.
Well, I don't know that it was a secret shoe collection.
You sounded really surprised. So that's why I thought it was a secret.
In the context of, I don't think, like, you know, when you see them individually, you know, you think, oh yeah, there's quite a few pairs of shoes. But when they're packed in one bag and you're having to carry them up like four loads of stairs, like, you know, I had this massive bag and it was all her shoes. And I just thought,
at what point did we get to this problem?
I'm not joking, Dave. It felt like there was about 30 pairs of shoes in there.
You see, I've known you and your girlfriend for about 5 years now, and I can honestly say I've probably noticed her shoes about two or three times throughout this whole time of knowing her. So I never really noticed how many pairs she has. And we're not talking about, you know, she's not one of those girls that, you know,
there's
goes crazy. There's no stiletto. She's not crazy over heels like that. Mm-hmm. You're not dating Ricky Lee.
No.
You're dating a different kind of woman.
Yeah.
So her shoes are a little practical, but they're still trendy.
Yeah, they're totally trendy. And I guess like there's different color schemes, you know, to go with different outfits. Like,
but
you know,
I just never noticed that. I mean, how many pairs are you estimating here?
I'm seriously thinking there's like 30 pairs.
30 pairs.
Yeah.
But here's my theory about people with big shoe collections.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you start off with good intentions, like, oh, yes, I'll get this because this goes with certain outfits. Mm-hmm. Like you said, color schemes and all that. It's very important. But I honestly think in a week's period, you're likely to only wear maybe three pairs.
Yeah.
Three pairs.
Well, I think she's probably got a bit like, so I have work shoes, right, Dave? Whereas in her role, in her job, she can wear like whatever shoes she wants during the week. More room for rotation.
So
I've got, you know, my standard black pair that I wear to work every day. And then you've got like, you know, I like to do that match it to your outfit type thing. But what I find is more I'll go through phases. Like I'll have a pair that I like wearing a lot and then I'll move on to another pair. So,
and is it always the newest pair, or do you, you know, have comebacks?
I have comebacks. And sometimes too, Dave, like it'll be like I'll have bought a pair because I have really small feet, and so I often have the sale shoes because they're always the really big or the really small ones.
You and Mama Lim should go shopping together.
And so I end up, you know, I'll buy a pair because they're on clearance or whatever, and then I won't wear them for like 2 years, and then I'll pull them out and go, and then they're my favorite pair of shoes.
Jade, you know, a lot of people might think that I have loads of shoes, but mm-hmm. in reality I probably only have about 5 or 6 pairs. Mm-hmm. And I think I only wear about 3 or 4 in a whole week span.
Yeah.
Really 3 or 4. I mean, I have 2 work shoes. Let's just put it that way. One doubles up as a dress shoe because I like to get fancy at work. So I will bring in my finest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, wear it down at work.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually it's not fit to wear on the weekends or to special events because I've worn it out at mm-hmm. work. So I'm really that bad. But we want to know what you know, how many pairs of shoes do you go through in a week?
Yes.
Because some people have huge collections, but I reckon you guys, 2 or 3.
Yeah. Text us 0427 joy949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. I'm really interested because I think it plays on that whole stereotype of like, you know, who has more shoes. Because
girls or guys.
Yeah. And also like, I think everyone was really shocked when I started talking about, you know, because we're obviously both lesbians, how many shoes we have.
Lesbian shoe collections. It's one of the most unspoken of mysteries. It's like the Bermuda Triangle. It's just, we know it's there, but no one really goes there.
No one understands how it works.
Yes, let's talk about lesbian shoe collections. We were talking about shoe collections before, and my theory is that, look, I feel like people have a lot of pairs of shoes, but if we're real about it, we don't get a chance to wear them all in any given week. My theory is probably about 2 or 3 pairs that you cycle through in a 7-day week, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we've got some responses here, and I feel like I'm right on the pulse.
Well, Johnson says, I wear 2 pairs a week, but I have about 25 pairs in my wardrobe.
Wow.
Nina, I think Nina's out doing this all, Dave, has 60-plus pairs of shoes and wears a different pair each day. Honestly, she says, I love them all.
Nina, you are doing this for the nation. Australia is cheering you on. Anyone else want to come for this gold medal?
What I really want to know is she, like, buying the shoes around her outfits or vice versa?
Oh, buying the outfits to match the shoes. That is really bizarre. Would people do that? If the pair of shoes, or I should say ladies, if the pumps are unique enough, mm-hmm. I think there's reason to buy an outfit to, you know, have the pumps go with it.
We had another text come in, says, I have 50 shoes. My girlfriend has like 5 and thinks I'm ridiculous and that I buy pairs exactly like the ones I already have.
You know, it's in the details. You need to tell your girlfriend that, sweetheart. It's 50 pairs, but they're all slightly different.
It's always like, you know, and it's always sad when you like get to the end of a lifespan of a favorite pair of shoes. Like I remember a pair of shoes I had when I was 14 and I seriously wore them until I was 20. Because I couldn't let them go.
Didn't your feet grow in that time, girl?
No, you know, all my growing happened by the time I was 14. I, you know, if anyone who's seen me in person knows that, you know, I'm struggling to, I'm, you know, just over 5 foot.
Look, we have an email sent from the Joy app from our friend Matt.
Yeah.
Who's listening from Sydney, by the way, so far away.
So massively. He said, great show, Jade and Dave. I only have 3 pairs of shoes, workers, jiggers and dancers.
Oh, it sounds like he's
categorized them.
Yeah, and actually they sound like the reindeers that, you know, support Rudolph. Workers, jiggers. I don't name my shoes, Jade. I mean, I'm really not that special with my pair. There's basic, which I wear pretty much Monday to Wednesday, and then there's fancy. Those are the two work shoes I have, basic and fancy. Some days I feel basic. Really, you know.
You're just going to keep it I feel like human. Really low.
Keep it really low-key. And, you know, sometimes I also... I have these palladiums, and I feel like maybe some lesbians out there can relate to this. Palladiums are, they're kind of like lesbian hiking boots. They're very butch. I feel like I'm about to trap some bears. They are so, they're just rough, and, you know, I just like that. I like the look of maybe I would go rock climbing someday.
Yeah.
Like, I want people to see me at a cafe and go, oh, he does some physical activity.
You want it to seem like their, you know, their initial impressions of you are in fact wrong, that you are in fact a physical outdoorsy type.
Correct. I am Bear Grylls. You're listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave on Joy 94.9. Coming up, we're going to talk about your, we're going to keep hearing from you about your shoe collection. So let us know, how many pairs do you actually wear in a week?
Text us 0427 joy 949 or email us on air joy.org.au. David, who does Friday Drive, he's said, I have one pair. They're black. It makes life completely easy.
One pair?
One pair.
I don't know if I really believe this. So when I see David next, I'm going to check.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a picture, and I would... And I will follow this up.
Yeah, we're going to like keep following it up.
Yes, because we are like a current affair.
Yeah.
We're on to you. We're on to you, David.
We're going
to
be knocking on your door at 6:30 in the morning.
See if you've still got that one pair of shoes on.
But Maria from Chadston, Dave, says, I have over 200 pairs of heels, all in their original boxes with a photo on the front so I know what is where. Now that's some serious business. But she admits to only wearing 3 to 4 pairs a week.
You know what, Maria from Chadston, girl, do you live in Chadston? Or is that a coincidence?
Yeah. she moved right next door just to be closer.
I was just like, where are you storing these shoes? In the store? I don't think I have room for, you know, that many pairs of shoes. I mean, I have a rack that's full right now with 6 pairs of shoes. It might be the smallest rack on earth, but 6 pairs of shoes is probably enough. And
I'm
wear...
really surprised by that, Dave.
I feel like I'm letting down a lot of people with this confession. Big Brother auditions are happening in Melbourne this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I know this might sound a little crazy to you, but I did for 1 second consider going for it this year.
No.
I know you would never allow me to do it. I know.
Yeah.
I know you would forbid it, but I don't know. Jade... This show was so huge when it first started in Australia. I can't help but be a little excited for its comeback this year.
But it's a pointless reality show. Like, I mean, admittedly, I'm not a fan of reality unless it's like Mythbusters anyway. But to me, Big Brother is probably the most pointless of all of them, right? Because all it is it's not about talent, right? Like, you know, if you look at any of those, you know, singing shows or whatever, at least
There's a little bit of talent. There's a bit of entertainment.
Amazing Race. You get to see all these great locations. You know, there's, you know, challenges are involved. It's like, you know, you're putting your mind to a test. Big Brother becomes about manipulation and popularity. It's just kind of...
But the way I see Big Brother is that I think with the right cast, you can have an opportunity to see different kinds of Australians, you know, Australians from different walks of life, and see the way they interact. That's what I want to see. If it's going to end up with...
Are you sure, Dave?
That's really what I want to see, but I'm not sure if that's what we're going to get. My concern is that it's going to become a little Gold Coast.
Yes. Well, yeah, admittedly, Dave, like, from what I've seen in the past, it looks very bogue. So, very bogue. Yeah, so they'd have
That's Bogan crossed with Vogue.
So there'd have to be a change, really, in the casting. Like, you know, they'll put one or two people in there and those people never win, you know.
Jade, I feel like you and I would be good reality TV stars.
I've said many times I think we should do The Amazing Race together. I think that would be an awesome experience.
It will be an awesome experience because I have no sense of direction.
I need a direction.
I need a GPS to help me get to Joy today, and I've been doing this for, 5 years?
I think now, because people know reality TV format, they kind of play up to a stereotype, so yeah, they know what works and they start using the cliches of I'm not here to make friends, like, you know, that kind of that kind of stuff starts coming out because they know that that might endear them to the, you know, that makes them the villain.
I
or,
love
you know.
That line, Jade, you know, I'm not here to make best friends, like that's yeah. been on America's Next Top Model, that's been on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race,
it's, you know, it's on, I think it's there was a podcast that I heard where it was actually like the most used term in a reality TV show. I'm not here.
This
to
is
make
a competition.
Friends. Yeah, yeah.
This is not RuPaul's best friend race.
No, yeah. That kind of, yeah. So the variation on I'm not here to make friends. And, you know, do you really want to be that person, Dave?
Jade, I feel like if you're a good reality TV star, mm-hmm. you need to come up with your own signature line. That's really what sets you apart from the trash. Yeah. I mean, girl, you're already in a trash pile, so you might as well make yourself a little bit more memorable. But I feel like the makings of a good, memorable reality TV star is if you have a signature line
yeah.
or signature look.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a bit of persistence. Like, you got to really drop that line.
I mean, it probably matters more in something like it's something like this Big Brother thing because it's, you know, it's all personality based. Mm. For someone like me, I'll be sitting in a corner rocking back and forth because I like the idea of being surrounded by people and not being able to escape them and they're all strangers and they're all talking and they're all extroverts. That would just freak me out.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.